this morning, we're doing something that we have not done here as long as I've been here, where we have three pastors. We've got three pastors here today from Rest Place Ministries, David, Giovanni from the Hispanic Ministry, and myself, and we're all going to do the message for you today. I know that's evoking a lot of fear and trembling into many of you, because where two or three pastors are together, oh my goodness, watch out, right? No, I promise you it won't be that way. I'm going to invite David and Giovanni to come on up here now. Pastor David, Pastor Giovanni. And you can grab the microphone there. And Giovanni knows where his is. And what we're going to do today is we're going to have I've billed it as a transformational conversation about activating a lifestyle of gratitude. And so, you know, we come from different backgrounds and different perspectives. And so we thought it would be really, really helpful for each of us to share around this. And, you know, one of the things that I alluded to in my prayer today is that we're living in a world that is so out of control. It just seems like it's a world filled with uncertainty, with anxiety, with fear, and especially after COVID, you know, a lot of dislocation. People are just feeling so dislocated. And, you know, what is the pathway? What is the pathway for us to find peace, to find confidence, and to find connection in this world? And, you know, as we as pastors, you know, as we had a conversation around this on Monday, and we came to the conclusion that, you know, it is by discovering and activating a lifestyle of gratitude that we can begin to find certainty. We can find peace, and we can find connection in this world just by activating this lifestyle of gratitude. You know, as we were preparing for this, I came across a blog this week online, and I thought this would be a fitting way to introduce us into this conversation today by just reading what this person had written. I believe her name was Joan or something like that. Anyway, this is what she wrote. Practicing gratitude as a lifestyle is more than offering thanks on a special occasion or when blessings are abundant. It's about cultivating a heart that sees and celebrates God's goodness in all seasons, every day. Practicing gratitude as a lifestyle transforms our outlook, strengthens our faith, and deepens our joy. When we intentionally seek God's hand in the ordinary, and even in the difficult moments, we find ourselves more connected to Him and more at peace. Embracing gratitude changes our perspective and blesses those around us as our lives reflect a heart continually in awe of God's unmeasured grace. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing statement? I wish I could have claimed that as my own this morning, but I can't. But what we're going to do now is we're going to enter into this conversation, and we're going to discover and activate what it takes to activate a lifestyle of gratitude. And we're going to have four focuses for our conversation this morning. The first one is this: understanding gratitude's role in faith, personal reflections on blessings, cultivating a heart of gratitude, and then gratitude in action. So there's going to be four conversations all in one. And so let me start it off with this. I'm going to ask, David a question. And David, from your theological understanding, why is gratitude a foundational Christian quality?
Hello.
Let me see. There we go.
Hello.
Yeah.
Praise God. I want to thank God for today. Praise God. So I'm starting from there just to thank God for this service. So why is gratitude a foundational Christian quality? Because gratitude first is a place where we are intentional and we acknowledge that we are made by God. Mm-hmm. So just acknowledge the fact that God made us. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know in this day and time it's hard for us to really go through life where there are so many things in science and things in so many knowledge out there trying to redefine how human beings came about and so much confusion. Mm-hmm. But for us, I think the foundation of a Christian is that we were made in the image of God. So just that understanding and acknowledgement is the foundation why we should have a lifestyle of gratitude. Mm-hmm. And that acknowledgement also gives us the perspective to know that He's involved. You know, I brought my son to this world, right? Mm-hmm. So I am involved. In fact, if he's not eating, I'm worried. You know, when my son was growing up, you know, he doesn't like to eat. You know, at the point he was eating, but after a while, he just don't like to eat. And he's getting skinny. I'm like, you need to eat. I'm working hard for you to eat. Praise God. So if we know God created us, and it gives us the understanding that He's involved, you know, He's concerned about every detail of our life, then we can trust Him. Mm. You know, we can trust that He's at work. Mm. And He has made provision, you know. And sometimes I get worried about my son, and the Lord will remind me, do you think you love your son more than I do? Mm. You know, it get me thinking. I said, oh, really? He said, I formed him in the womb of the mother. Mm. So because of that, everything he needs at every phase of his life, I have made available. Mm. Can you just trust me? Because the reason why we don't have a lifestyle of gratitude, and there's this pressure in our heart to always want to worry and anxious, you know, is because we are not intentional knowing that God is involved. Mm-hmm. God is actively involved. And I think that, for me, that's the foundation, okay, you know, of a Christian quality. And that's what differentiates you from a non-Christian, mm, who think that the result of his life is based on his effort only, and the society, mm-hmm, and the government and the environment, and his whole life is defined only by that. No, we know that there's an invisible God.
Yes.
Yeah. That created us and is actively involved in good times and what? In bad times. Yeah. There's a scripture I just want to use to end this.
Sure.
Which is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Even when my child was not eating, I wasn't seeing the need to give thanks. But God said, give thanks.
Yeah.
In everything. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
I am involved. Trust me.
Amen. So, Thanks, David. Giovanni, Pastor Giovanni, you know, David shared some things on a personal level, but could you share on a personal level, how does being grateful for God's grace influence your walk with Jesus and your relationship with others?
Do you want me to answer in Spanish or English?
Well, if it's in Spanish, we're going to need a translation, so why don't you do it in English?
Okay. Testing, am I on? Okay. How does influences me knowing God's grace? That's a really good question, do you think? You know, when I look at Scripture, especially when the people of Israel was about to cross the river, and God told Moses to tell the people to remember that it was me that I took you out of the hands of slavery. Remember that I protected you. Remember. And that phrase of remembering, it's so easy to forget sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so, and you see it through our scripture, the remembering. You know, we do communion in which we remember the God's faithfulness and goodness and his sacrifice for our sins. But it's so easy to forget. And sometimes when we go through challenges and trials of our lives, it's so easy to forget God's faithfulness. And so remembering God's grace influences me to share that same grace to my neighbors and my friends and my family. Remembering where he took me from, remembering the sins that he paid for me on the cross, remembering that his mercies are always new every morning, even when I'm not faithful, even when I make mistakes, even when I stumble, even when I stray away from God. He tells me, remember that my love for you is forever, my goodness for you is forever. And when I remember that, and I treasure that in my heart, it influences me to love my enemies, to love those who hurt me, to love those who betray me. Mm. And so I think that the remembering aspect of a Christian life is so essential for all of us.
All right. Great. Thanks, Giovanni.
Thank you. Now this time it's my turn to ask the pastors. Yeah. The first question I want to ask you, Pastor Ken, is what specific blessings, big or small, you know, I know you've been in ministry for a long time, and you've raised kids, you know, you've been through different phases in your life. What are the big or small blessings do you often take for granted?
Well, I wish I could say that I don't take anything for granted anymore, but that's not the case. You know, when things are going really well, maybe you can relate to this, when things are going really well, it is so easy just to kind of say that everything is like peachy keen, you know? I've got a house to live in, I've got clothes to wear, I've got a loving wife, I've got a family, you know, I've got a stable job that brings in an adequate income, you know, all of these things. I got friends and I got community. I got all these things. And it's so easy just to be comfortable. And I think we all get comfortable. I know I can get comfortable. And then I begin to, unlike what Giovanni just said, you can forget. You know, when we get comfortable, we can forget the benefits, the blessings that God has poured out for us. And that's me. I mean, I can't say that I'm always great. I don't take things for granted, like, you know. But one of the things that I do remember is what Psalm 103, verses 2 and 5 says. when the psalmist encourages us not to forget the benefits of God, not to forget the benefits of the Lord. He says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins. You know, it's God himself who has poured out his grace and mercy into my life. And believe me, I've committed a lot of sins in my life. I'm sure all of us can say the same thing. But God's grace and his forgiveness for sin is there. He heals all of our diseases. He's provided health and well-being for me. He redeems my life from the pit. He's provided redemption and protection for me. And he's crowned me with love and compassion. He's given me a loving community to be. I mean, I have to remember these things, and I have to remind myself constantly of these things, because it's so easy to take life for granted. And the real blessing is that he satisfies our desires with good things. For every good and perfect gift has come from God from above. And that's what really energizes my life, as he says in the psalmist, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. Yeah.
Praise God, praise God. And it's true, because the life of a Christian is lived intentionally.
Yes.
So there is no default mode. In fact, your default mode will always, in most cases, stray you away from this attribute, this quality mm-hmm. of being grateful to God. And I want to ask you a follow-up question. Mm-hmm. What specific blessings, big or small, how has God's generosity, I'm reading the first question.
No,
it's for Pastor too, because he's our boss. He takes more questions, you know. How has God's generosity to you produced generosity in your own life? Like give us some practical.
Well, when I'm reminded of God's generosity to me, and when I consider all the benefits, the blessings that God has poured out into my life, it inspires me to be generous towards other people. And I'm not just talking about, you know, generosity in giving material things to people. And not just giving away my possessions or giving gifts or that. It's not about just about material things. It's about extending grace.
Amen. That's right.
To other people. To showing love and compassion towards others. You know, when I'm really grateful to God for how he has just, you know, covered my sins with his love, his redemption. You know, when I go to him and repent, he pours his blessings back on me. He pours his loves back on me, his grace. You know, it enables me to be able to extend that same thing to others. And not only that, but it allows me to let go of my frustrations and my hostility that might start to grow inside of me when other people step on my feet or get in my way or have expectations on me. I can let go of those expectations as well. And then it does. It when we begin to live that way towards others, in all of those things, then it allows me to hold my possessions, the things, my stuff, lightly, and not be motivated by the desire to have it all, to have everything. I can be content and I can be thankful for what I do have. And then that gives me the freedom to be able to give to the needs of others without any strings attached.
Praise God. That's a very powerful one. That's a very powerful one. The concept there for us as believers is that we must not have a consciousness of lack. You know, lack. Not enough. In fact, we could trace it to poverty mentality mm-hmm. because we've been generously blessed. Do you know that what we have is joy.
Yeah.
And joy is actually very powerful. It's not happiness. Joy is greater than happiness. Mm-hmm. We have things that the world does not have. Even though things are not going well with you, do you know you can also translate that experience to be a blessing to others? You can encourage your colleague in your office, give something to your colleague in your office, mm-hmm. smile, and it can look at your life and say, oh, but I know you are going to your own. Why are you encouraging me? That's knowing that you have been blessed. So the blessing, like I said, is not physical. So I want to ask Pastor Giovanni now, when have you experienced God's presence and felt most loved by him?
That's a very easy question for me, actually. No, I'm serious, because when have I experienced God's presence and felt most loved by him? That's very easy. In the presence of the community. You know, some of you know my story. 3 years ago, I went through, a lot of things, right? And that's precisely, it was a coin of two sides. On one hand, I was on the ground, I was drowning. But on the other hand, I felt his love and provision and protection through some of you guys. Particularly through two ladies, and they're here today, this morning. They know I always put them on the spot. It's Sister Esther and Cecilia. They poured their love and provision and protection. They guided me by the hand. Like literally, they grabbed my hand and said, Pastor Giovanni, come this way. Pastor Giovanni, say this thing. Come over here. Go over there. And I was just going, okay. But in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the thunders and the trials and how I was feeling, I felt his love through the community. Mm. And I want to encourage you, if any of you guys are going through a dark time and trials, and you feel that the skies, the universe is caving in on you, please do not isolate yourself from community.
Yes.
And if I'm allowed to go back to the previous question, you know, what are some of the specific things that we often take for granted? And I would say that some of the God's blessings that we often take for granted is the gathering of the believer.
Yes.
You know, we don't gather because we're perfect. Mm. We don't gather because all of a sudden I am the superhero. Mm. It is precisely the opposite.
Yeah.
We are gathered because all of us have a story to tell. Yes. We all of us have a tale, we say in Spanish. Mm-hmm. We have something in our closet. And it's only through God's love, through community,
yes.
That we can heal. And so how do I experience his presence and felt most loved by him? It's when I'm surrounded by you guys.
Praise God.
Like humans, you know, we are all the same. You are a sinner, I'm a sinner, you're forgiven, I'm forgiven. You're going through things, I'm going through things. Mm. But it is in that gathering and that sharing of love and experiences and stories is when his presence is felt.
Mm. Amen.
I can keep going, you know, but yeah, praise God. I'll go to the next question.
Over to you, Giovanni.
Yeah, so question for you guys, for David. What are three ways, not five, not six, three ways you can actively show gratitude to God today?
Praise God. The first for me to start with is acknowledging that he made you.
Mm.
You know,
amen.
That building your identity around him. Mm-hmm. Just knowing that, God, you created me in your image. Because we're in the Gen Z age. Am I right? Are we in the Gen Z?
Gen Z, yeah.
Yes. Where so much like social media. People are struggling with their identity, who they are. Am I doing much? There's so much pressure. I wrote a book on this, though, called Discipleship, how people are really wounded because of comparison, you know. Just looking at yourself every day in the mirror, irrespective of wherever you're going through, just knowing that you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
Oh, my God. So, for me, that's how I show gratitude. Thank God that I am. And thank God that you are a man. Praise God. And thank God that you are a woman. Praise God.
Amen.
There is identity confusion out there. So for me, I'm grateful to God. I'm grateful to God that I'm black. Praise God. Fearfully black and wonderfully black. So I'm grateful to God for that. And also, I'm grateful to God for saving my soul from hell.
Amen.
The Bible says today we're translated from the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
Into the kingdom of his light. You will not understand what that really means if you've been in the dark before. In a dark room, you don't know where the door is, you're struggling to find your way out. I must tell you that in Jesus, you are in light. So I'm grateful to God that he saved me. I was born a Muslim. You know, I used to tell my kids, I know it sounds very silly, you know. I see, you know, they grow up hearing Jesus. I'm teaching them about God. I say, I never had this. The first word I heard was, you know, my dad calls for prayer every morning because he's an imam. You know, he's the one in charge of the mosque attached to our house. He's the one that called for prayer. So the first word I heard is Allahu Akbar, you know, and I grew up in that. All I knew was Muhammad, Allah, praise God. And Jesus found me and saved me. So that alone is, I'm grateful to God every day that I'm born again.
Amen.
I'm a child of God. And because of that singular, you know, thing that a lot of us don't take for granted is, I want to go out there. When I meet people on the street, I want to tell them about the love of God. Because when I was a Muslim, I couldn't call God, I love you. I couldn't tell Allah, I love you. It's a taboo. You can't look up. That's why we pray like this. You know, when there's a song Christians sing, Jesus, I love you. For me, when I was a Muslim, I couldn't say that. Now I have a love relationship with God. And I want to tell every Muslim, I want to tell everybody. That's why I go on the street. Some of you see me on the street, I will stop you. Are you born again? Have you met Jesus? Jesus saved me. That's the way I show my gratitude to God, to make sure that people hear of his love,
yes,
his saving Amen. Power. And you said three, right?
Three. One more.
Okay.
Yeah.
One more is like my family and community. So I'm grateful to God. I'm shaped by that. And, you know, because I cannot grow in my faith without community.
That's right.
Because when I gave my life to Jesus, you know, it was the community that helped. In fact, when my dad got converted to Islam, and from Islam to Christianity, we were kicked out of the Muslim community. We were like alienated. Imagine they come to your house and say, leave today. We were not thinking of looking for a house. Who took us in? A Catholic family. Took us in, gave us house for free. We stayed with them until we were able to find a place. So community, Christian community is powerful. And also my wife, my kids. So every day I'm grateful to God for them. I think
Amen.
I have up to 20. But
yeah, so I know. And a question for Pastor Ken. How can you foster a thankful heart and appreciation for God's work in your life, even amidst of difficulties?
Whew. Well, you know, in my earlier answer, I talked about how easy it is in the good times to take things for granted. Well, in the difficult times, when life gives us a reality check, you know what I'm talking about? I think we've all gone through those times when all of a sudden it's a reality check that life is not always, you know, steady and even and everything's going great. You know, it's in those times that our lifestyle of gratitude is formed. It's formed. And that was the case for me. You know, when my whole world came crashing down 12 years ago, you know, Giovanni and I share some similar things that happened in our lives. You know, his marriage, mine, and my marriage, my first marriage. You know, when suddenly everything came crashing down, I became aware of how blessed I really was before everything fell apart. And how much I had taken so many things for granted before my life all fell apart. And when I had lost everything, when I was in that darkest time of my life, I came to the realization that God was still there. And when I came face to face with my biggest fears of being alone in the world and lonely in the world, it was then that Jesus came to me with his arms wide open, and he said to me, "Ken, I love you with an everlasting love. I know the good, I know the bad, I know the ugly of your life." And believe me, at that time there was a lot of ugly going on. And he said, "I will never, ever, ever let you go. You are mine." You know, that's what Pastor David was talking about in terms of his identity, and what Pastor Giovanni's been talking about as well, about, you know, in those difficult times, my most difficult time of life, I discovered this principle, and actually I borrowed it from the title of a book, but it was a reality for me. When you are down to nothing, God is up to something in your life.
Amen. That's right.
And he wants to teach you, he wants to train you, he wants to develop you into something. And you know, in the darkest time of my life, when I had lost everything, I didn't know where I was going to go to sleep. Didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. Didn't know, you know, all those things. But God provided me a place to live. He provided me food to eat. He provided me clothes to wear. And eventually I got a new job, and I was able to take care of my needs. He set my feet on a solid foundation, and he led me on a path of restoration and recovery of not just my life, but of joy, the joy of living. And now who I am today is because of what I went through 12 years ago. The darkest time of my life. And it just reminds me of what James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 2-4 and verse 12, where he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Do you get that? Do you get what's there? It's we have to go through these difficulties. We have to go through these trials because it changes our perspective on life, and it helps us to come to that place where we recognize, oh my goodness, there, God is so good to me, even when I'm not good to him. He wants to pour out his blessings on my life. He wants to bring me to that place where I recognize my dependence on him. And then James concludes, he says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trials, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. See, that's at the center of all of our great gratitude,
yes.
Today, is that, you know, when we persevere, when we allow God to do his work in us through the difficult times in our life, we have that assurance, that blessed assurance, that we will receive from him the crown of life. The crown of life. And that brings joy. Joy unspeakable for me. And so, you know, that's how, you know, that's how God creates this, a grateful heart, which is so important to a lifestyle of gratitude. And so, you know, having heard what we have been talking about today, I want to ask you a question now, as a congregation. See, this is gratitude in action now. All right? I want you to take a moment to consider what's been shared. And what have you discovered this morning? And how will you now activate a lifestyle of gratitude in your life? You know, this is the question that we want you to consider today. And maybe consider it in two ways. First of all, how does a grateful heart encourage you to be on mission for God? And that can be, you know, a mission for God can be a lot of different things to a lot of different people. So how does a grateful heart encourage you to be on mission for God? And then the second question to consider is, in what ways can being grateful for Christ's love inspire you to forgive, love your enemies, be gracious towards others, and be a peacemaker in the world? So just take a moment, and anybody want to share this morning? How does a grateful heart encourage you to be on mission for God this morning? Anybody? Sure. Do you want to just take?
Encourage her, please. Yay!
Well, I think that on a daily basis, we all go through problems. We have our own life, family, health, and why not. And sometimes we focus so much on the difficulties of the day, and we don't appreciate the positive that it also came with it. So I think that to take the time and forgive or forget one moment for all the problems that we have on a daily basis, and be focused of the of our faith, and how grateful we are to be here for the day that we have every day, to have a roof of our heads, to have a meal on our tables, to have friends that guide us and support us over all the difficulties that we have on a daily basis.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Pastor, can we do one exercise?
Pardon?
Can I just lead them to do one exercise?
Sure.
Can we stand up, please? Just stand up. Now, there's something that we are not conscious of, and I want to bring you to that consciousness. Can you take a deep breath? Breathe out. Take a deep breath in. Breathe out. Can you thank God for that breath?
Amen.
Can you just thank God? Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For breath.
The breath
that you can breathe, and not with oxygen, but you just breathe. So that's just one thing I just want to do, Pastor, just to bring us, because David said, I slept and I woke up. It is the Lord that preserved me. Even sleeping and waking up as casual and easy for some of us, that is enough to be what? Grateful.
Yes.
You can have your seat.
Yeah. Anybody else have something that you're grateful for today, or you know, you would just like to how gratitude, a lifestyle of gratitude, will just cause you to get out in mission for God? Do you want? Okay.
Yay. Praise the Lord. So I think for me, when I reflect on my journey as a mother, it is a whole, it brings me to that point that drives me to gratitude. Because my two children are very different. And I always say that my daughter is like three children in one. So, so sometimes when I'm going through the downs of having to be a mom to her, and I'm trying my very best to kind of like be the example that she sees and, you know, show God's love. And, you know, sometimes it brings me to a point where I begin to question myself. And I'm like, Lord, can I really do this? Am I even doing it right? Which I know a lot of parents go through. And at that point, I am reminded that, hey, this thought, this feeling is a thief of my joy. God knew that I am enough to raise her. And that's why he's giving her to me. So that drives me to a point where I'm like, Lord, I am grateful because I have everything that it takes to raise this child.
Amen.
Not just raising her, but raising her in all that you have called her to be.
Yes.
And for me, I see my life as their mom as a mission and my number one mission. And having that attitude of gratitude really shapes how I kind of walk with them and relates with my kids, you know, in my life and my journey as a mom. So.
Amen. Right over here.
Yay!
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
My name is Latoya. I'm from Liberia, West Africa. It's my second month in Canada. I'm so grateful to the Lord. My birthday is Tuesday. I've been looking for a church. I think I met you a few weeks ago, and I was asking my housemate. He said, oh, there's a church, and we should go and try it.
Yes.
And he called me this morning, Latoya, let's go to church. And I'm just so grateful that I was able to get up and come here and just be in the presence of the Lord. I am so grateful. Nice to meet you.
Hallelujah. So that's very powerful testimony, because some people like to stay on TV these days. Physical gathering is good.
Amen.
Please.
Yeah.
Let us, David said, I was glad when they said, let us go.
Yeah.
Not stand in front of screen.
Yep.
Let us go into the house of the Lord.
Another one at the back there.
Oh, yes. Who first?
Right at the back. Yep.
Come, just both of you, come. Just come. Yeah. Yes, come.
Good morning, my name is Patrick. I was encouraged by my son Peter to come up and say something as well. So reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And so connecting back to the question is that we are called to be thankful in all circumstances. And even when we're not feeling like that, I think just that, you know, that knowing that our Heavenly Father knows what is good for us sort of is that motivational push, right? That, you know, get up and get going in all circumstances. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think that, you know, being called to being grateful is motivation for action, as we're told. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So, being grateful is not feeling based, it's revelational based.
Amen. Yes.
Yay!
I'm Pastor Ken's mother, in case you don't know. But I just want to give my thanks to him and to my family, but especially Ken, because we are kindred spirits born on the same day, which is the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. But anyway, since my husband passed away, Pastor Ken comes up every other Friday on his day off to give me his time and help me with different things at home. And I am so thankful that I have all my children that are good to me. But I really appreciate how much he and Carolyn have done for me to, you know, as I say, for him to come up on his day off and give me the whole day at home. Looks after my bills, does all my, there's your bills, Ken, pay them, you know. But I just want to be thankful, and I think you've got a wonderful background here for him, and I hope you will continue to love them as much as I do. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom.
Any other person? I know everybody here would love to say something. So, is there another one person before we'll give it to Pastor Ken to conclude? Oh, you're smiling. He's like, you have something to say. He's just filled with joy.
Yeah.
Just filled with joy. Praise God.
All right. Pastor Ken, well, thanks. Thanks, everyone, for your comments today. And thanks, Mom. We'll give you dinner tonight. No. What my mom didn't also say is that every time I go up, I have to fix her computer, I have to fix her TV, just an ongoing thing, right? But it's a joy and a privilege to be able to do that for you, Mom. Yeah, because I am so thankful to my mom for the life that she has given to me. Yeah. You're a blessing, Mom. You know, when we embrace or discover and activate a lifestyle of gratitude, this is the one thing to remember from today. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. That's the crown of life that Jesus has promised to us. It does. You know, when we're grateful to God, He just pours out His blessing, continues to pour out His blessings to us, and we have a whole different way of seeing life. We are filled to life abundantly. So let's just close off our time today in prayer, and then we'll continue in our worship time. Giovanni, could you close off our time together today?
Spanish or English?
Your choice. Maybe a bit of both.
How about I do it in Spanish?
Okay. Sure.
Señor Jesús, gracias Dios por tu presencia. Gracias por este lindo día que nos dices. Gracias por cada persona que está aquí en este lugar. Padre, tú sabes que cada persona tiene una historia que contar. Un testimonio que declarar. Y en todas esas cosas, Dios, podemos decir que tú eres fiel, que tú has sido fiel. Te damos gracias por todo, Señor Jesús. Father God, we give you praise for this beautiful day you've given us, Lord. Father, thank you for each and every one of us here in this place this morning. You know that every person has a story to tell, a testimony to talk about. But in all of it, in the midst of it all, Lord, we know that you have been faithful, that you are good forever. And Father, we give you praise. We give you thanks, Lord. Father God, I ask, Lord, that you give us your peace, peace that surpasses all understandings, Lord. And Father, thank you for your love, your forgiveness, your mercy. Father, and everything else that comes when we become your children. In Jesus' name we pray. In el nombre de Jesús. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.